Video recordings of this podcast can be found on raisingequity.org and Raising Equity on YouTube.
Hey folks, I'm Dr. Kira Banks. Welcome to this episode of Raising Equity. You can find me on all socials at Dr. Kira Banks, and I wanted to come share this idea with you because everyone's talking about the new year, right? And it's kind of like new year, new what? Fill in the blank. You know, do you use it for kind of rejuvenating yourself and starting a new habit? Do we ignore the fact that the Gregorian new year really doesn't mean anything? Do we maybe focus on the solstice? Like, there are all sorts of options we have. And what I just want to say is that you get to decide. You get to decide how you fill in that blank. New year, new what? Solstice, new habit, whatever it is, you get to decide. And I say that because at a time when violence, genocide, greed is permeating our globe, it might sound contradictory to say you get to decide how you move forward in this new era, in this new year, in this new season. But it's so true, because what I'm realizing in a few different ways, and I want to share with you today, is that whatever work you are meant to do to contribute to whatever change you feel is deeply needed in the world requires that you be your fullest self and that you be okay. And I'm sharing this with you at this moment of the new year because over my break between semesters, I got sick, like a lot of folks, right? And it required me to sit down in a way that I don't often. And so I picked up a book I'd been meaning to read. And so I read Audre Lorde's Burst of Light and Other Essays. And she wrote this book when she was experiencing a recurrence of her cancer diagnosis. And so it's a series of her journal entries and thoughts over the course of some years. And it was really compelling because the quote that we often hear from this book is the one about self-care. And so that quote is, "Caring for myself is not self-indulgence, it is self-preservation, and that is an act of political warfare." And you might have heard this quote, and I've heard it used a lot in justifying taking care of oneself. But I think my critique is, I think we often use it in an individualistic way that actually does serve this kind of self-indulgence theory, like, oh, I'm going to take care of myself, so I'm going to do insert some activity, whether it's get a massage or not go to an event. And all of those things are important and might be part of your self-care package. But after reading this book, that quote comes at the end. It's her last entry. It's kind of like the epilogue, and it's her last entry. It comes in 1987, and she passes away in, I believe, 92. And so after reading all of her thinking and her reflections about having cancer, about being a lesbian at that time, about international camaraderie among women, Black women, indigenous women across the globe, of lesbians across the globe, this quote took on a new meaning. And so it made me think about this new year and whether you take that spirit of like new year, new me. I have taken the idea that it's important for us and important for me in this new year to think about what self-care really means. And my reading of her words are that she's saying it's an act of political warfare because she is going to use her life to fight for collective liberation, because she has one more day to be in community with those women from South Africa, from Aboriginal women in, or Maori women in Australia and New Zealand. And that she, in Germany, she did a lot of traveling to Germany and working with Black women in Germany. And so hearing her say that, it's not just about a daily act. It is really about a mindset of how you take care of yourself to then be in community, and how you take care of yourself and take charge of your body. Because she's talking about this cancer diagnosis and in many ways felt not in charge of her body because cancer cells were literally attacking her body. And there were many opinions about how she should move forward with her treatment, and she chose a course for herself. She had to go outside of the United States to get the treatment that she wanted. And she talks about, you know, being in charge of her body and caring for her body and not having the assumption that other people knew better, but of course not being arrogant to know that, to believe that she understood cancer like specialists did. So she sought out many, many different opinions and many different perspectives and chose to care for herself. And so I just say that because I don't think she was thinking about self-care as pampering ourselves. I think she was thinking about self-care as loving ourselves enough to daily and over time take care of our literal bodies, our mental health, ourselves, so that we can continue to be in community and continue that political warfare and continue to fight for liberation. And so too often I hear us use the phrase as simply, oh, I'm going to take care of myself over here. I've got to protect myself. I've got to have a boundary. And then what? And for the sake of what? And especially at this moment in our history, I think it's really important for each of us to think about what is our lane? What's the work we're doing? What's the long arc? What's our community? Who is in our community? How are we building that? How are we cultivating that? And that we are a stronger collective unit. We are a stronger community when we each engage in that sort of self-care that is not self-indulgent, but is really about us taking care of ourselves so that we can be in community and fight for liberation collectively. So I want to read a piece from that book, and I want to encourage you to think about for yourself how you think about caring for yourself and how you prioritize that. So she talks earlier about caring for myself is not self-indulgence, it's self-preservation, and that is an act of political warfare. And she goes on to say later in this segment, I believe one of the ways in which cancer cells ensure their own life and depress the immune system is by creating a physiologically endangered despair. Learning to fight that despair in all its manifestations is not only therapeutic, it's vital. Underlining what is joyful and life-affirming in my living becomes crucial. And I'm going to pause here. These are my words, right? She's talking about this from the despair of experiencing cancer. I think that there's wisdom in this for all of us in our daily living, in that we have to really think about what's vital, what brings us life. How do we touch joy on a daily basis? What's life affirming in what I'm doing and how I'm living? And it becomes really crucial and clear when we have these moments when we're faced with an illness. And so what lessons can we pull for that? So again, caring for oneself is not just about making ourselves feel good for the moment, but it's about really thinking about what gives us life so that we can then be in community with other folks. So she says, what have I to leave behind? Old life habits, outgrown defenses put aside, lest they siphon off energies to no useful purpose. One of the hardest things to accept is learning to live with uncertainty and neither deny it nor hide behind it. Most of all, to listen to the messages of uncertainty without allowing them to immobilize me, nor keep me from the certainties of those truths in which I believe. I turn away from any need to justify the future, to live in what has not yet been, believing, working for what has not yet been while living fully in the present now. And so she talks about this push and pull of what do I have to leave behind? What old habits do I have to shed? How do I live in the uncertainty and continue working daily for a future that I might not see and I might not be able to see, but still live fully in the present? And so these are big questions that we need to ask ourselves, and I think we need to be asking each other. But she closes with this. She says, I work, I love, I rest, I see and learn, and I report. These are my givens. No sureties, but a firm belief that whether or not living them with joy prolongs my life, it certainly enables me to pursue the objectives of that life with a deeper and more effective clarity. So I think that sums it up. Thinking about how we can experience joy, be curious about how we can engage in that, and that it will enable us to pursue the objectives of our life, the larger objectives of our life, with a deeper and more effective clarity. So I encourage us, as we think about how we are moving into this new year, new season, however you think about it, how are you taking care of yourself, not just for the sake of that, but for the sake of what? What work that you want to do in the world? What community that you want to impact? What change that you want to see in the world? And it's pushed me to think about the importance of cultivating this self-love, this self-care, because sometimes we can get told it's so selfish, and to really turn it on its head, that it's not selfish, it's not individualistic, that it is really in service of the collective, and it's in service of the broader fight for liberation and the connection in our like shared humanity. And so I'm going to share in another post, but I'll briefly share here. I'm picking up this book. It's called A Year of Self-Love Journal. And it's 52 weeks of prompts and practices for loving who you are. It's by Jamila White, a friend of mine. And I bought it, now maybe 2 years ago when it first came out. And because she was a friend, I wanted to support her, and I picked it up. I looked at it a bit, but I didn't continue. I didn't finish it. And it was on, it was a special, like a buy one, get one free at Target and Amazon over before the holiday. And so I bought a bunch to gift to my graduate students and other folks in my life. And I thought, well, I'm gonna pick this up, and I think I'm gonna walk through it. And so I invite you, if what I've shared with you about Audre Lorde's Burst of Light and this idea of self-care being for the sake of bigger collective work resonates with you, join me. I'm going to do a book series, and I will probably be doing it weekly. And then there's like quarterly check-ins. And so I want to create a community of folks who are engaging in self-care, not from an individualistic capitalist framing, but about collective liberation and seeing how important and necessary caring for ourselves is to showing up in the world the way that we want to create the world that we want to see. So with that, I want to share a Happy New Year, if that's how you celebrate, if that's how you frame things. If not, I hope that this week and this new season after the solstice is serving you, and that you're staying well, because there's so much illness that's happening around. I'm definitely getting all my strength back, but happy to be able to share these thoughts with you, because, you know, sometimes being sick really makes us sit down and reflect in a way that we often don't slow down to do. And so I was excited to read this book and get a bigger context for this quote than I'd ever had before. So with that, thanks for joining me on Raising Equity. Like I said, Dr. Kira Banks across all the socials. Let me know your thoughts, how you've been taught to think about self-care, and how this reframing of Audre Lorde's quote might have opened up different ways to think about it. Thanks for joining me on Raising Equity.